Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe MP with you on a Tuesday morning. Our buddy Will Brinson drops by every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern. Happy to have him. CBSSports.com. Follow him on social media by his name, at Will Brinson. Will, did you go to South Bend this weekend?
No. I went back in 2017 when NC State had a much better team. It's an awesome experience. Like, Notre Dame fans are really nice. They're like, yeah, great to have you. Glad you're here. We're going to pummel you with, like, 7 touchdowns. We had a really good team that year, but they had Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey on the offensive line, and they just ran through us. But it was cool, you know, drinking illegally spiked coffee while Jesus stares at
you. I was just thinking during the break, we really, the three of us, need Vegas again ASAP. We need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's been a while. Been way too long.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who else needs Vegas. This is a nice little segue for you. The Kansas City Chiefs need Vegas. They need Vegas coming to town. Because they, I think that line gets to 14, by the way.
Would you lay it?
I would lay it now at the 11.5. Because, I mean, it's already up to 12 in a lot of spots. Yeah. I think you saw the Chiefs, so they get to 3-3. They beat the Lions on Sunday night. I know I said I think I loved the Lions early last week. I eventually came back around and took the Chiefs in circa millions just like because it was insane leverage because most people were on the Lions. That worked out. And the Kansas City's defense is playing really well. They get Rashee Rice back. And Mahomes, you saw in that interview after the game, you know, they're not like, oh, happy to be 3-3. Chris Collinsworth referenced how a lot of people in the Chiefs organization say they feel better about their team 6 weeks in this year than they did last year when they were winning every game, by the skin of their teeth. This team to me looks like a possible just truck stick situation against the Raiders because the Raiders beat up Tennessee. Tennessee's a terrible team. They get the coach fired. Now you go to Kansas City, and Kansas City, after this like slow start, they really don't have any bad losses. Suddenly, you look at them and you're like, all right, you're one game back in the division. You are getting your best receiver back. You've had these other guys kind of step up and fill in, like a Tyquan Thornton, Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, I mean, like, just guys that you just shouldn't be on a championship caliber like starting roster. And I just think they're primed to like lay the absolute wood on the Raiders.
Let's talk about the best in the NFL. Because I think that's a decent transition where we are with the Chiefs because they are right there. As far as Super Bowl odds, at most books, they're either co-favorites with the Bills or they're just a hair behind them. So the Bills go into the bye after bad loss last night on the road. Bills are still, let's call them the favorite, and then the Chiefs right there as the second favorite. And then you look at the rest of the top five. Okay, Packers won, fine. They kind of slept walk through a game after a bye week, unimpressive against the Bengals, even though they won comfortably, if that makes any sense. The Lions lose, questions about the defense after the performance against the Chiefs, and then the Eagles are still in the top five, even though they look awful right now. Like, which teams are, borderline great besides the Chiefs?
Well, all right. So we were having this conversation last night on a text thread with myself, our pal Nick Costos, Pete Prisco, Jamie Eisenberg. It's like, who's good? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is rightfully, even though I think Baker Mayfield would be the MVP if we voted today, Patrick Mahomes is rightfully the favorite to win MVP now because the Chiefs are starting to trend in the right direction. Mahomes is starting to play at an extremely high level. And, you know, it feels like their offense might take off with Rashee Rice back. As for, like, who's good? I mean, I still think the Rams are a good football team. I know they lost to a completely depleted Niners team, you know, however long ago. And they didn't, like, blow out the Ravens, but they didn't really need to. That's kind of their style. I think the Colts are good. I mean, I don't know. In a year where there's not a ton of elite teams, like, no, there isn't a single team in the NFL right now that you could say, like, you're like, I am, I mean, like, for survival, whether it's survivor purposes or just like, you know, like money line to bet your life on. I don't know there's a team in the NFL that you would, you know, if you put them up against a good opponent that you would feel entirely confident they're going to go out and win. Maybe the Chiefs. I think Tampa's a really good team, but they're so depleted by injury on both sides of the ball. The receiver, you know, Tez Johnson is going to be their wide receiver one maybe this week. I mean, that's a tough spot going into Detroit. The Eagles, you know, the metrics don't back them up as a great team. I think there's just not a lot of great teams out there. I think it's a really condensed portion of the NFL that just doesn't have that upper crust. Like we've seen in recent years where there, you know, you knew like about 6 weeks into the season. Now, you didn't know who was going to be the conference championship game, but you had a really good idea of the 4 to 6 teams that were going to be there at the end. And, you know, as good as Buffalo has been, I mean, they lost 2 straight. And, you know, to teams in the Falcons and the Patriots that – I think the Patriots are a good team, by the way. And, I mean, I would alt their overs, team total overs. This week. Yeah, you got a dead cat bounce.
Oh, yeah, game. Brable. Yeah, yeah.
You got a dead cat bounce game for the Titans. Yeah. But I mean, like, Mike Vrabel would love to put 50 on the Titans. Now, I don't think he'll do it at the risk of, like, injuring his guys if the Titans just score 3 points. But I don't think he's going to stop scoring until it's way, way, way out of hand.
Yeah, I had a buddy who was telling me for weeks, Vrabel is going to light them up. And I think he said, what, stomp a hole in their head, Joe, was the quote that we talked about yesterday. But then I texted him as the news was coming out about Callahan, and he's like, abort mission. I don't know why he said that, but he feels like with Callahan out of the way, it's not as personal. I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
No, I still think it's very personal with ownership. Like, I think that's the key there. It's personal with ownership for Vrabel. You know, it's not like Brian Callahan orchestrated some, you know, like outside job to take out Mike Vrabel. Right. I mean, you know, Brian Callahan just came in and got handed the gig and was just way in over his head. Now, I think if you had an Antonio Pierce or, you know, like some sort of like hype man type interim coach, I would be a little worried about laying the 7 with the Patriots. I think they're going with Mike McCoy, who is not a hype guy. You know, he's been a head coach with the Chargers, pretty underwhelming. Has done some good work with quarterbacks in the past. I think it'll be an improvement from the game day management perspective for the Titans. I'm just not sure they can do a whole lot against, you know, this Patriots team that's great against the run. The Titans offensive line has been really bad. Brian Callahan leaving the team was no brainer because they fired his son, but I don't think him leaving is going to help the offensive line. The Patriots should get after Cam Ward, just create some turnovers, and I don't think the Titans will slow down the Patriots at all. This Vrabel is going to want to hang 50 on this Titans team. And if he can do it, he will without like compromising the safety.
And I think those players are going to be motivated to do it for him. You know, they're going to rally.
By the way, this is like now, it's not back to back, but like, so Drake made revenge game against the Panthers.
Yeah.
No, I just mean revenge games. Like Drake May against the Panthers, he pulled out the Cam Newton celebration because he stopped being a Panthers fan when they cut Cam Newton. Then you get the Stephon Diggs revenge game. No real revenge against the Saints, but now you get the Mike Vrabel revenge game. I think like Stephon Diggs, in the same way that Vrabel knew that Diggs wanted revenge against the Bills, I think that Diggs knows that Vrabel wants revenge against the Titans, and he will help him get that.
Yep, for sure. With Will Brinson, CBS Sports, right here on Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. All right, Sunday Night Football. Atlanta, San Francisco. Atlanta looked good last night at home. They surprised, but the number was dropping down. It was down to 3.5 at some spots. They still win, pull off the upset over the Bills. Short week for them. Now they go to San Francisco. But now the Niners don't have Fred Warner. Now they lose this guy after losing Bosa and all the players on offense. Niners are laying 3. We don't know the quarterback, but they're still laying 3. What do you think?
Yeah, I would be inclined to back San Francisco here. I don't think you need to rush to the window and do it. You know, you see the juice favoring the Falcons. They're probably going to take I would think the public would generally react to what they saw last week and to the injury news on San Francisco and lean towards the Falcons. The problem here is, by the way, bye week teams last week, 4-0 straight up, 3-1 against the spread. Just worth noting as we move forward. There's always injuries in the NFL, but it feels like a lot of key injuries, particularly like defensive guys this season. Atlanta's just kind of been a different team away from home. And, you know, we do have a situation. I mean, I don't think it's a Kyle Shanahan per se, but like Kyle Shanahan has done an incredible job scheming up his team in spots where, you know, they might not have been in the best position to win. So I will take Kyle Shanahan. It sounds like George Kittle's supposed to practice. George Kittle matters a lot to that offense. Like, he's a guy who is, you know, not the best blocker, but he's the best blocking pass catcher. And when they do that play action stuff, he's able to fake like he's blocking, roll out. I mean, it's just part of that Kyle Shanahan scheme. He's kind of the fulcrum of that offense, in my opinion. So if you get Kittle back, I think that's a big deal. The Fred Warner thing is massive, of course. But I would be inclined to lay the 3. The total is kind of interesting. That's pretty high. I think that speaks to the Warner stuff, and maybe they're expecting Penix to keep playing well. He just hasn't been the same quarterback away from home, and that worries me a little.
We do this segment every Friday called Where's the Room, and we basically showcase who the public is on, college and pro. Paul is banging the table for Monday night. He knows it. I think I agree with him. You know the public's going to pound Tampa at Detroit, catching 5, 5.5, right?
Probably, yeah. Which is crazy because the Lions are like such a popular public team. But, you know, I was talking with my guys that we do the Circa Millions with, 4-1 last week, no big deal. And the Lions, like Baker, we didn't want to back the Bucs just laying 3 because it feels like the spots you want to take Baker in are catching more than, like, if you're backing Baker catching more than a field goal, you just feel really good about him finding a way to get down the field and have a look to win late or, to, you know, to cut it to 3. So, yeah, I think the public will want to back Baker. The issue is, who's he throwing to? Because if Emeka Ebuka is out with a hamstring injury, and we don't know his status for this game yet. I mean, if Mike Evans is out and Chris Godwin's out, we don't know their statuses either. Like, I mean, who is he? He's throwing to Tez Johnson. And as banged up as the Lions secondary is, I mean, you see the total 52.5. People expect, you know, Vegas expects the Buccaneers to score and expects the Lions to score. I think it's a shootout. And I mean, you know, gun to head right now, if it's a shootout, if it's going to be that of a high scoring of a game, and you think that both teams are pretty vulnerable to the pass, if you give me back Baker back any of his weapons, I'm probably, you know, eyeing the Bucs as well. But this is a game where the Lions could get a lead and really just force Baker to be one-dimensional. I think that's pretty problematic for the Buccaneers.
Role reversal, if I can speak. We liked Carolina at home, getting points against Dallas. They pull off the upset.
Yep.
Now you go on the road, and now you're laying points at the Jets. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, look, if you look at the Panthers, this is one of the toughest games of the week. Because I think the Panthers will be – I thought they were going to be the trendy dog, right? But if you look at the Panthers' schedule, I don't want to call this a must-win game. It kind of is. They're at the Jets. Then they get the Bills off a bye at home in Week 8, at the Packers in Week 9, and then two divisional games, Saints and Falcons. Falcons on the road, which is a tough spot, and they already beat them once, before they get the Niners and the Rams. So, like, you kind of have to go win this game if you want to be – in that NFC South and NFC you know, wild card mix at all. And at 3-3, they're just in the mix, even if we don't think they're necessarily that good a team. But they're top 10 in yards per play over the last three games on offense. And defensively, I saw the stat from Joe Person of The Athletic. They are, I'm just bringing it up so I make sure I get it right. The 50 rushing yards are the second fewest allowed in a two-game stretch in the Panthers' 31-year history, trailing only the 45 they gave up to Washington and Dallas during the 2015 season. So you have Derrick Brown playing awesome football in the interior. They're getting a little healthier on defense. They're stopping the run. And now they get a team that had negative 10 passing yards last week and is likely without their best receiver in Garrett Wilson. So it's like, if J.C. Horn can lock down Josh Reynolds, you just spy Justin Fields. How are the Jets scoring against the Panthers and the Jets defense is awful? So I think the line movement is correct. I wouldn't want to lay 3 with the Panthers, but I'd probably be inclined to back the Panthers as a short favorite, even though it goes against everything, you know, you should possibly want to do as an NFL bettor, which is take a crummy Panthers team with Bryce Young, who hadn't played that well, on the road laying points.
9 sacks, 9 completions for Justin Fields. I think that's pretty bad.
I mean, they stink on offense.
Yeah, awful. Well, Brinson, thank you so much, man. We'll talk next Tuesday, all right?
All right, guys. See you next week.
First look at Survivor for the upcoming week and Penn State's next head coach. We've got the odds. BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The odds for the next Penn State head coach, very interesting. We're going to go over those. The lines have already been moving on that. The odds are posted. We got a new favorite in less than 24 hours, so we're going to go all over that. Interesting convo. We got lightning bets coming up in about 20 minutes. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, you've got Bet Sweats right here on the BetMGM Network. It's Tuesday, so we want to take an early look at Survivor for everyone still alive. And if you were alive heading into this past week, you're probably still looking good. Because I'm looking at Circus Survivor, Sam. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The top 6 picks, all safe. Packers, Steelers, Raiders, Rams, Colts, Broncos, all winners. And then you get the Eagles. 89 out because of the Eagles. 70 took the Commanders last night to take out the Bears at home. I don't get that, man. Like, there were so many other games, higher point spreads. Why would you pick a game when you don't have McLaurin, you don't have Noah Brown, going against a team coming off the bye? It doesn't make much sense to me, but wasn't like it was a high percentage. For the most part, most people end up getting through. Like last week.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen when all the favorites win, for the most part. Until Monday night, of course. Thursday night, dog. Monday night, dog, dog. Sunday, yeah. All favorites.
A few people took the Bills, but yeah, you know, we've been doing this so long. We know it. Like, we got to the show end of yesterday and we're like, okay, everybody's doing Commanders props. The Bears are probably going to win. As a 5.5 point dog, the Bears are probably going to win. Oh, wait, yesterday it was all favorites winning. So what does that mean? We're probably going to get at least one dog to win tonight. And we got both dogs to win last night. So very interesting as far as that goes. So last week was about Packers. If you had the Packers, you're probably going to use them. And Survivor and a lot of people did. They were the most owned team. This week, we're probably having that same conversation about the Chiefs. If you have the Chiefs, you're going to use them, even though it's a divisional matchup against the Raiders. Let's call it 12 because that's what it is at BetMGM. But we've seen books go to 13. Are you with Will Brinson? Is this thing getting to 14?
I don't know about 14, but it's definitely going to move up. That 13 is pinnacle right now. That's the highest in the market. BetMGM has 12. I see a couple 12 and a halves. So we're definitely on the way. Look ahead number here was 10 and a half. So I don't know that it gets to 14. And if it does, of course, you will get wise guys that bet 14 because they bet numbers, not teams. I don't know that it gets that high. Maybe 13. I guess that's my guess. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it got to 14. I just know that there would be people that would be looking to take the 14. That's all.
Personally, I've used some Kansas City. I have spots where I've not used Kansas City. I'll be using some Chiefs. Rashee Rice, first game back. And I will be using New England. 7-point favorite at Tennessee. There are 2 point spreads that are a touchdown right now. I like one. I can't say I love the other. The one I like, New England. The one I don't like, just because they're coming back from London, it's the Denver Broncos. I understand if you want to go down that road. I don't have them anyways, but if I did, I probably wouldn't love Denver. Just coming back from London, and now you're going against the rookie quarterback. You got the dart scatavoo stuff going on. I don't know. I would much rather have New England than Denver. How about you?
If you don't overthink it, it's Vrabel going back to Tennessee and just whooping
their ass. They're
winning.
They're winning. Right? They're just winning. That's all you need them to do. A number of other larger point spreads that I don't like. Now, Green Bay is going to Arizona, 6.5. I don't like the way the Packers have looked for a month now. So I don't really like that. And then you get Brissett, who actually looks better than Kyler Murray. So I'd rather not take them on the road at 6.5. Sam, Thursday night football. Do I want to take Pittsburgh? No. We keep seeing what's happening with Thursday night football. You have these crazy upsets. Monday night football. Do you want to take Detroit against Baker? No. I'll pick another spot for Detroit. And then here's the one that's just dangling. The Bears are a 5.5-point favorite. They're a 5.5-point dog last night. Right now, they're a 5.5-point favorite hosting the New Orleans Saints. No chance. What do you think?
No chance? None?
I'm not taking them. How many times have we lived this? The Bears go on the road, have a big surprise. Now they come home. They're a heavy favorite. And what happens? I'm not taking them.
I don't think they're going to lose, though.
Okay. It's going to be a field goal game. It's going to come down to
a you have a Bears hoodie on, and you're saying yes. They're not going to beat the Saints?
To make you mad. Yes. Yes, I could absolutely see the Bears losing this game. Paul, am
Spencer
I wrong?
Rattler rolling am into I wrong, Chicago Paul? With his braces?
Multiple things. Joe, you're dead right. I said this yesterday. And yeah, two, did. Sam, self-admittedly, terrible at Survivor. He's like, nah, the Bears aren't losing this game. Just a couple things to put out there.
Spencer Rattler also doesn't have braces. I don't know where I came up with that. But he looks like he'd have braces, doesn't he?
Did he in college or something? Like, that's in your brain somewhere. He may have. He looks like he would have braces, actually.
I just Googled Spencer Rattler braces, and I'm getting nothing. Nothing.
What did you
anyways, Rattler, beside the point. Beside
get his orthodontist on the phone.
Fake.
Wait.
Paul doesn't like orthodontists either.
No, those are not braces. No, but he looks like he'd have braces. He does. Anyways. I mean, if you don't overthink it, it's Patriots. That would be the move.
Yep, I agree. Patriots and KC, if you haven't used them. But KC's so good. There's a number of spots that you can use them. But yeah, before going too in-depth, first look, KC, New England, no doubt about it. All right, let's get to Penn State. Sam, I know you have the odds in front of you. Penn State's next head coach. I think it's an interesting conversation with all of the names that are listed. There are even some names that we talked about yesterday that are not listed on this offshore site. What you got?
Pat Fitz is not on the list, unfortunately. So we can't bet Pat Fitz to be the coach. Maybe I'll call Mason and say, hey, I want to make a bet. So this is Dave Mason's book, Offshore. Yesterday, the favorite was Matt Rhule. The second favorite was Bill O'Brien. And the third favorite was Kurt Cignetti. That was yesterday around lunchtime. Current market, Joe Brady is now favored, plus 150. He was 10 to 1 or 12 to 1 when the market opened. So Brady has definitely taken some money. There's a lot of connections there between the owner of the Bills. He's a big booster of Penn State. Maybe that's an easy landing spot. But Brady now plus 150 to be the next head coach at Penn State. Matt Rhule, still right there, 2 to 1. Fran Brown, Paul's guy, 5 to 1. Cignetti, 6. Bill O'Brien down to 12. Lane Kiffin, 12. Matt Campbell, 12. The fallers in the market, they had Urban Meyer, 10 to 1. He's not coaching again. Urban Meyer has a cushy TV job. He's made his money. He's won his titles. Ain't happening. They moved Urban Meyer from 10 to 33. And they also moved John Gruden from about 15 to 25. They keep throwing these names out there, like Urban Meyer, John Gruden, Nick Saban. Don't think it's happening, Joe.
No, yeah, it's the same old names. I chuckle when I see Ed Orgeron at 50 to 1. Like, they'll throw out a lot of the retreads out there. I mean, I would, for an entertainment standpoint, I would love to see that. Yeah, Brian Kelly. Now let's leave LSU and let's go to Penn State. That would be a good one, too. He's way down the board at 60 to 1. All right, what do you think of Brady? So, you know, I threw out the idea of Hartline just as a young guy. I heard Klatt mention it. I thought it was interesting that if I were Penn State, if I were a Penn State fan, I would want to try and find my guy that I think is going to be like, maybe not the forever guy, but a guy that's going to be there a long time, give some stability to the program, bring some new blood, some life into the program. And I was thinking maybe that guy would do it. Joe Brady's 36 years old, and he's been bounced around early on in the NFL. Like, he was first viewed as the next guy, an offensive genius. Then he went through his troubles, and then he landed in Buffalo. Then he ends up taking that job over when they fired Dorsey as the OC, and he's been phenomenal there. I don't remember hearing his name much as far as NFL head coach. Maybe this is something that Brady would prefer. The next step would be college head coach instead of NFL head coach.
Yeah, I don't know what his goals are. Obviously, I don't know Joe Brady. He's 36 years old. This seems like a really good job, though, for a guy like that.
Yeah.
And it sort of fits the mold. You know, he's a likable guy. He's young. I think players relate to him. Offensive guys certainly want to play for him. He also did spend a couple years at Penn State as a grad assistant. But the connection there is between Pegula and Brady. Like, that, I think, is what's driving this move. And clearly they took bets. I mean, to have him at 10 or 12 to 1 and now 24 hours later have Brady plus 150, clearly you got enough to realize, oh, Brady's going to get bet. There's a lot of things that sort of mesh together. I think it'd be a great hire, no doubt. Cignetti, I would never, we talked about this yesterday, I would never bet Cignetti at 6 to 1. I also, nope. Paul, you were kind of covering this story, right? Was this when O'Brien went to Houston? So Bill O'Brien was the head coach at Penn State, and then he left to go to Houston. He's 12 to 1. Why would you bet Bill O'Brien to go back to Penn State? I don't get it.
That makes no sense, especially so – again, it depends on who you listen to. When he left, a local reporter or area reporter, I forget, his name's escaping me right now, but he basically aired dirty laundry from, again, it seemed like it was supposed to be an off-the-record conversation with Bill O'Brien where he was just venting about the Paterno people at Penn State and like all the crap he had to deal with. And so this dude wrote an article about it and published it. And I know O'Brien, from talking to people, was heated about the fact that this dude aired all that and it was supposed to be off the record. I don't know. Maybe the guy felt like O'Brien's leaving town. Who cares? Or now it makes sense there. I don't know who was in the right, who was in the wrong. Regardless, that doesn't matter. It's all out there. And whether or not the Paternos are still involved with Penn State, or I don't know. I know they were trying to keep themselves involved for the longest time, and that whole story is whole nother silo. But as it just pertains to Bill O'Brien, it doesn't make sense. Like, he left them for a pro job. He at least publicly there was enough animosity there that came out in the dirty laundry that it just, none of it makes sense for him. I would never even consider betting that. I don't know why he would want to go back, especially after dealing with all that crap. So yeah, none of that lines up for me with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. Plus you have options. Why would you go down that road if you don't have to? But I was, as you were talking about that, I was just thinking, I don't know that that's a bad thing. Wouldn't it be a good PR move if you're Penn State to align yourself with someone who is sick of the paternal crap?
Isn't it any association is bad? Like, it's been 10 yeah. years. Like, yeah. And again, I just, anything putting that name next to university again, and it always and will be.
And he's not a number one. He's not like a top guy you want anyways, right? No, like, there are a lot of other exciting names.
Yeah, and if you can't succeed, I don't know. At BC, I guess there's two, like, you're not really able to recruit at BC to keep up with the big boys. But, like, did he have that much success at Penn State? He was fine. Like,
no.
If you're firing James Franklin because he can't win a national title, I don't know that Bill O'Brien's winning a national title.
Correct.
I think that's perfectly said. Perfectly said. My guy Chesney is still 66-1, by the way, at this book. I, again, don't think it's going to happen, but that's the next guy. My prediction, like, wherever he goes, he's going to hit. I'm not saying it's going to be Penn State, but that's going to be the next coach that leaves a mid-major. He's at James Madison. I think he's going to be a great hire whenever it happens, wherever it happens. Mason also has this up, Joe. Odds on where James Franklin will coach next.
Saw that.
Arkansas. Arkansas favored 3-1. Vanderbilt, who says you can't go home? 4-1.
Come on. Get out of here. No chance.
Vanderbilt. 4-1, Virginia Tech 450, Nebraska 5, UCLA 7, Florida 9. Imagine if Rule goes to Penn State and Franklin goes to Nebraska.
Hey, what about North Carolina 20? North Carolina 20. You know what this reminded me of is, I know we're only talking about Penn State, and most people are. Woo, this hiring cycle is going to be interesting. There's a lot of jobs open right now. So how many jobs are going to be open once we get to the end of the year? Arkansas, Vandy, Vatek, UCLA, Florida. Oh, man, there are a lot of spots. Okie State. Good jobs out there.
The ones that jumped with Franklin in particular was like Vatek, but is that too much of a step down for him? Is UCLA really going to hire the guy they put in a coffin and vice versa? Okie State? Man, it's too far of a step down.
Dude, Wisconsin is so pissed up there.
They might like give him the bag. They might. Come on in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad job for him either. Go to the other mega conference. Interesting. Joe O, Sammy P, Lightning Bets next, Bet Sweats, Bet MGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a game on the fly, 3-2-1 we just made up, and it didn't help anybody as far as yes, players on Seattle that could be World Series MVP. Very funny. So we don't know where we're going. Maybe we'll pick one of those players during our Lightning Bets coming up in a few moments. Joe O, Sammy P, and people don't know this, but believe it or not, we actually talk during the breaks. Like, when you guys are listening to commercials, waiting for us to come back. If you catch the live show, we talk about random stuff throughout the break. And there was a heated topic that it hit a couple of us today that we've all complained about in recent weeks that I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers, Sam, are dealing with on a daily basis like I am.
You get the spam calls. I don't get as many as you do.
Yeah.
But I get weird texts. And this one actually scared me for a second because I was in Illinois recently and rented a car. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. It's a very official looking text. And if you just look at the text and not the number, you could be kind of shook by it. The Illinois Department of Motor Vehicles has finally notified us that penalties will take effect tomorrow, October 15th. You're like, oh, uh-oh. Our records show that as of today, you will have unpaid traffic fines. And then they give you five things. We will take the following five actions. Report this to the state's DMV database. Suspend your vehicle registration. Revoke your driving privileges. Charge you a 35% service fee. Or we'll sue you and that will affect your credit score. Pay here with a link. And I'm like, oh. And then I look at the top. And it's a number that's plus 549351. Like, it's an international spam number, obviously. But if I was really dumb, I would fall for this. The fact that somebody could send you this is terrible. And Jake got the same text today. So, yeah, I'm responding right now. Things I can't say on the show. But this is scary, man.
It is. Like, I've seen stuff on the news about, like, the worst thing to do is to answer these calls because then they get your voice and then they can do pretty much anything with it. So I never answer, but it is nonstop, man. I just got one a little in our last segment, potential spam. If you look under my recent calls, potential spam, potential spam, potential spam, potential spam. And the thing is that really annoys me is every single call, I'll take it, block and report junk. It does nothing because then another minute later, I'll get a call with one number different. It's so damn annoying. It's to the point where I have to have my phone on silence all day because I just don't want to deal with that and the notifications and the rings with some random ass number. A lot of it is local numbers, though, like the 312 numbers. That's one of the Chicago area codes, as you know. But yeah, it's every day, all the time. I block them all, and I still get calls constantly. Do you guys get as many phone calls, or is it more texts?
No, I went to some website a couple years ago and put my phone number in. It's like a spam blocker list.
So did I.
I don't get that. Maybe one a day, maybe. You get multiple per day, though, huh?
Multiple. Different numbers.
Yeah. That stinks.
It's annoying.
I went to the Illinois Tollway website, for those that are still wondering about the story. At the top of the Illinois Tollway website, beware, text message phishing scam claiming recipients owe money for tolls. These are not legitimate messages from the Illinois Tollway. So clearly, all over it, Illinois Tollway.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of complaints there, I'm sure, so... Yeah, I'm sure people know other lists you can go on where it would pop up. It doesn't ring for those, but it's annoying when you see that you have missed calls and messages. And it's just annoying. God, because nobody calls anybody for the most part nowadays, except for spam. They call all day, every day. Don't answer those numbers. Lightning bets. You know what? We might as well do it. Should we do Where's the Room, Paul? Because we do have a CS game tonight. I do see it.
Sure.
I have the info if you need it.
All right, yeah, what do you got?
All right. We don't even need the intro. I'll just...
Where's the room?
Number five, Jake Bowers, over a half a hit, plus 110. Four, Yamamoto, over strikeouts, over 6.5 of them, minus 135. Okay. Number three, Yamamoto, over pitcher outs, minus 145. Number two, Ohtani homer at plus 250. Yippee. Number one, Freddie Peralta, over 14.5 pitcher outs at minus 154. Thank you, mid-major Matt. So we've got Peralta outs. We've got Yamamoto outs. Yamamoto Ks, all at ridiculous juice numbers. Did we learn anything? It's not the only reason I want to mention is it was, did we learn anything like last night with the Commanders? Like, we wanted to stay away, but it seems to be pretty split. You got a few Dodgers, you've got a couple of Brewers, but they're in on the pitchers, which makes me wonder, do we bet the over? Last night, you only get three runs. People are probably going to look at the under. Is there going to be scoring tonight?
I could do the over for sure. I was thinking, honestly, for lightning bets, I don't love a ton today, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you any hockey bets or preseason NBA bets, although Jeff Sherman did text me last night to bet the Lakers -2, and I didn't do it, and now it's 7.5. So good job by me. Follow up on that tip. Moved 5 points. Did nothing with it. Yay. I was thinking it would be interesting after we talked about which Dodgers going to win the World Series MVP. Like, of course the Dodgers will lose tonight. You know, like we're already moving them to the World Series and picking the guys to win the MVP. I was thinking about going Brewers just because it would be funny, but I could be convinced to do the over too. Guide me, Joe. Guide me. I need your guidance.
Freddy. Brewers? Let's go over.
I could do Brewers.
I think the Brewers could have easily won last night. I know we're running with it. Like, look at the Dodgers, odds on favorite. Look at 1-0 series. It's over. It's so stupid. It's really dumb when you think about it.
I just want to do a bet. I just want to make bets with my friends. What are we betting?
I'm doing over.
Okay. Over 7.5.
Over 7.5. I wish we got the 7. Some of the sharper books have a juice 7 if you want that. But over 7.5. I think it's a good play.
Okay. Done.
We'll get some runs. That's my lightning bet. Is that what you're going to do for Beat the Books?
Let's ruin it. Yep. I'm going to ship it. I'm going to ship it like I love it. And they'll never know the difference.
Good. I don't have any hockey bets either.
Oh, Paul, too bad.
Paul, do you have anything?
Jake's got 8 baseball bets. Don't worry, he'll fill.
I can't wait.
I'm gonna follow up on our 3-2-1. I'm gonna put in Josh Naylor at 40. He's a tough out. He's obviously gotten hot recently from the end of the Tigers series into this season. He's got the pop. He's got the power. He can go oppo. He's in the RBI spot. So and he's just kind of looks like a dude you'd see on a Harley. Just a dude. He's just like he's not messing around, but no, if the Mariners make a run, I've got Dodgers hooked with too many things. Got Teoscar, so I'll grab Naylor at a 40.
I'm Sam Panionovich. Help you beat the books on the BetMGM network. Naylor, World Series MVP. He looks like a guy that rides a Harley. 40-1.
Vroom, vroom.
maybe I'll
he's got
do
a
it.
Deep. He goes full deep V. He's like, you don't want that. He kind of, you know, kind of looks like Haydo. He kind of has the Haydo thing going on from Rookie of the Year. You don't want that dude. I'll put the game on the line if you're facing. You don't want to face that dude with the game on the line.
I love Pauly narratives. Pauly narratives kills me every time.
Parlay Paul's my favorite Paul, to be honest with you.
Dude, Josh Naylor, earring guy, too, as Paul Aspen famously was at one time, too. So
I heard there's a show that does a segment with something named Parlay Pete on the network. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Is that the pirate?
Yeah. He's a pirate. I don't know what kind of pirate. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and SGPs. Jake Kassan, I heard you have 10 bets for tonight on this one game. What do you have?
I don't know about 10. 10 scam texts, more like. But I'll go in on the over, too. Peralta's been just okay this postseason. And Yamamoto's seen the Brewers once, and they smoked him. So I'm in on that show bet for sure. It's dumb, but I'll be with the room on the Ohtani home run. I'm going to pair it with Kike Hernandez to get a hit at -110, though. Get at least better odds, +450. They both have good history against Peralta. And I'll throw an Andrew Vaughn home run in there, too. He has one against Yamamoto in the one plate appearance he has against him. But it's one game. There's nothing else going on. What else am I going to do? So screw it. That's it.
So because there was things going on last night, I didn't see this until I saw it this morning. There was a 400-foot double play.
Oh, yeah. It was
what?
Dude robbed Which a home game? Run and then somehow didn't tag up and the Brewers-Dodgers. Dodgers.
He never tagged up. So they
So what happened? Muncy hit a fly ball to center field. Frelick, the Brewer center fielder, goes up to rob it, but it pops out of his glove, hits off the top of the wall. So it's technically a live ball then. It's not a catch. So the umpires rule it. So he fires it home, hits the relay. Relay goes home for the force out, and nobody tagged from second. Will Smith was standing on second, never tagged because nobody knew if it was a catch or not. And then William Contreras goes, steps on third, it's double play, ends the inning. It was wild.
Oh, force out.
Wow. Yeah, it was technically ruled a fielder's choice force out, double play. 8-6-2 double play.
Wow.
I'm more confused than I was before the explanation.
Well.
He did his best. Good attempt, Jay. We appreciate it.
Better than
It's also on MLB.com. They do a whole thing if you want to go see it.
Thank you. Power Rankings Wednesday tomorrow. Join us 9 a.m. Eastern, BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.